E, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počeje. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užgeje.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Pozdravljeni torej v današnjem kultivatorju. O tem se bomo posvetili dogajanju v zahodnoafriški državi Benin. Namreč prejšnjo nedeljo je beninska vojska zatrla poskus državnega udara, ki ga je poskušala izvesti skupina vojakov pod vodstvom Paskala Tigrija, poveljnika skupine za posebne operacije Narodne garde. Skupina je potem v nedeljo zjutraj med drugim napadla radio televizijsko družbo Benina in tudi v nagovoru sporočila, da je prevzela oblast v državi. Do popoldneva se je potem položaj v državi že precej spremenil, ker je predsednik Patrice Talon potrdil, da je država ponovno pod nadzorom vladnih sil. Na prošnjo predsednika Talona je v državi posredovala tudi nigerijska vojska, v Benin pa je vojaško osebe napotila tudi gospodarska skupnost zahodnoafriških držav oziroma ECOWAS. Za analizo poskusa državnega udara, ki do neke točke precej spominja na prejšnje tedenskega v Gvineji Bisau, je z mano Tim iz aktualno-politične redakcije. Tim, pozdravljen.
Zdravo, ja, kot si omenila že v napovedi, se pravi, smo postali malo aktualno-politična redakcija, ki se ukvarja samo še s državnimi udari. To je zato, ker prejšnji teden sva naredila tudi oddajo v bistvu o puču v Gvineji Bisau in do neke mere je ta državni udar oziroma poskus državnega udara zelo sledil istemu scenariju. Se pravi, skupina vojakov se je pojavila na televiziji in je sporočila, da imajo pač v državi oblast oziroma da so prevzeli nadzor, ampak tukaj se je malo spremenil takrat, ko je v bistvu predsednik sporočil, da tega nadzora nimajo več in da je celotna država spet pod nadzorom vladnih sil, kot si to že povedala. No, sam poskus državnega udara se je v bistvu začel v noči na prejšnjo nedeljo, ko je skupina vojakov, ki so bili del Narodne garde, poskušala ugrabiti več častnikov beninskih oboroženih sil. Najprej se je ta skupina zapeljala do hiše direktorja vojaškega kabineta, ampak je on zbežal, v poskusu ugrabitve pa so potem ubili njegovo ženo. No in v tem času so beninske varnostne sile prišle do vojaškega taborišča Togbin, ki je tudi bil sedež pučistov. No, ob tem napadu ali pa poskusu napada pa je ta skupina upornikov ugrabila poveljnika tega taborišča in so se potem zapeljali do doma načelnika generalštaba državne vojske in ugrabili še njega. Zdaj, to je bila nekak prva operacija, ki so jo izvedli. Potem pa so tako poveljnika taborišča kot načelnika odpeljali v kraj Čauru, ki je nekak v sredini države. No, ob petih zjutraj pa so začeli še z drugo ofenzivo, ker so napadli predsedniško palačo v prestolnici Cotonou, kjer je prišlo do spopadov med pučisti in pa državnimi silami, ki so trajali okoli 45 minut in zaradi njih se je potem skupina vojakov umaknila do zgradbe televizije SRTB. No, v tem televizijskem nagovoru, ki sva ga omenila, so sporočili, da so v državi prevzeli oblast in da so odstavili predsednika Patrisa Talona, da so začasno razveljavili ustavo, ukinili državne institucije. No, ampak notranji minister Alassane Seydou je že ob 11, torej nekaj ur kasneje, zatrdil, da so državne oborožene sile zatrle poskus udara, kar je potem potrdil tudi Talon. No, natančneje pa časovnica poskusa prevrata predstavi Dan Sanaren, doktorant na Francoskem nacionalnem centru za znanstvene raziskave.
The coup started at night on Sunday last week, so that was the 7th of December. It was quite unexpected and very well coordinated by the coup forces. So we started with attack, like coordinated attacks on the residences of the general staff of the army. The chief of the army, the chief of the National Guard were both kidnapped, and the director of the military cabinet of the presidency managed to escape, but in the process lost his wife. Those things happened at about 2-3 a.m., and then around 5 a.m., there's an attack that started on the residency of the president, so the presidential palace, where coup forces went against the Republican Guard. And it was quite tense because the president was in the middle of this battle. So his life was also at stake, his security. Simultaneously, at around 6 a.m., there was an assault on the national television where the coup forces were able to overtake the television and diffused and broadcasted a message that there is a coup ongoing that was then on repeat for several hours in the country. Those offenses lasted until about 9 a.m. When the presidency, when the Republican Guard managed to actually fence off the coup forces, and there was a counteroffensive at the national television. Until about 11 a.m. This is when the Minister of Interior actually appeared on TV to say that things were under control. But clashes were still ongoing until the evening in the Togbin barracks, where actually the coup started, where it also prompted the response from Nigeria through bombardments of Nigerian jets. And it's only the next day, so Monday morning, that hostages that were taken by the coup forces were released, including the two chiefs of the army and of the National Guard.
Sogovornik je v izjavi omenil tudi posredovanje nigerijske vojske. Kako zdaj to, da je druga država v Benin napotila svojo vojsko?
Ja, se pravi, dan po poskusu puča je nigerijski predsednik Bola Tinubu potrdil, da je na prošnjo beninskega predsednika Talona v državo napotil tako vojaška letala kot kopenske sile. In zdaj ta nigerijska letala so bombardirala televizijsko postajo, kjer so vojaki razglasili ta nadzor na državo in pa vojaško bazo v bližini letališča v Kotonuju. Predsednik Tinubu je od tej operacije potem dejal, da je pomagala stabilizirati državo, ampak je beninski zunanji minister potem v četrtek povedal, da je v bistvu bil prevrat na točki, ko so Nigerijo zaprosili za pomoč, je neuspešen, ampak hkrati je dodal, da je to obveščevalno in vojaško sodelovanje med obema državama pomagalo pri preprečitvi udara. No, kakšno vlogo je odigrala Nigerija, pa pove raziskovalec na Nordijskem afriškem inštitutu Papa Soul.
They call it Nigeria because they wanted to target some military point. They came with air jets, and then they bomb the military equipment because they didn't want to give the assault in this quarter, the Togbin headquarters of the military, because it was overpopulated by people, surrounded by people. They didn't want to kill civilians. Nigeria played a decisive role in thwarting the coup attempt, and the army was deployed very quickly, because I think also the one of the spokesmen of the Talon government said they activated the bilateral cooperation between the two countries. And I mean, they also called it for ECOWAS that helped it to deploy a broader ECOWAS standby force, as I said. And the troops are mainly composed by people from Ghana, I mean, soldiers from Ghana, from Ivory Coast and Sierra Leone.
V Benin pa je vojaške enote poslala tudi Zahodnoafriška skupnost, ki smo jo že omenili, ECOWAS. Kako to, da je ECOWAS v tem poskusu puča v Benin poslal vojake v primeru državnega udara v Gvineji Bissau, ki pa, če se spomnim, ni več članica ECOWAS oziroma je njeno članstvo nekako zamrznjeno, torej zakaj ne tja?
Ja, se pravi, ECOWAS je v nedeljo zvečer sporočil, da je v Benin poslal rezervne sile, ki so jih sestavljali vojaki iz Nigerije, Sierra Leone, Slonokoščene obale in pa Gane. In te sile so imele nalogo predvsem zaščititi ključne objekte in pa preprečiti ponovno začetek nasilja. No, koliko vojakov je regionalni blok poslal v Benin, ni čist jasno, ampak je beninski zunanji minister v četrtek dejal, da jih je v državi še okoli 200 in ti vojaki so ostali kot del operacije za saniranje posledic poskusa prevrata. No in zakaj mogoče je, no, kje razlika med pučem v Gvineji Bissau in pa v Beninu, ko so pučisti v Gvineji Bissau prevzeli oblast v državi, so aretirali predsednika, in ki so ga sicer kasneje izpustili in je odpotoval v Senegal. V tem primeru pa tega nadzora oziroma pač te aretacije ni bilo. In Sanarem pojasni, da je ECOWAS tokrat poslal vojake predvsem na zahtevo Talona, ki ga niso zares odstavili.
ECOWAS was here in a bit of an easier situation than in other cases. I think the intervention from Nigeria was also done so that they can kind of show that they're not as indecisive as they were before. So this was actually a question for Niger 2 years ago, where they were finally unable to intervene, where they decided against the intervention. The Guinea-Bissau coup was a bit interesting because the situation was quite unclear. However, the big difference between all of the previous coups and the coup in Benin was that here there was a sitting president, so Patrice Talon, that specifically requested for the ECOWAS intervention. So it was quite easier to deploy the aircrafts first, and then the land troops that will support the army, which was not the case in the previous coups, including in Guinea-Bissau, where the president, Sissoko, as well as the opposition leaders, who both actually said that they won the elections and were both ousted from the country after the coup, were not sitting presidents anymore and seemingly did not have ties to the army, so could not request such an offensive.
Že nekaj dni po tem dogodku je pa tudi Francija potem potrdila, da je pomagala beninskim oblastem pri preprečitvi udara. Kakšna je bila pa vloga Francije, glede na to, da po besedah nekaterih že Nigerijci niso mogoče pomagali oziroma da so bili mal prepozni, da bi dejansko preprečili udar?
Ja, zdaj, že recimo pri Nigeriji je bil en komentar, ki se je pojavljal, predvsem to, da so svoje vojake napotili v Benin, predvsem zato, da zaščitijo demokracijo, ampak kot bomo slišali kasneje v oddaji, v bistvu do tega zares ni prišlo, zaradi ker demokracija ali pa saj neka iluzija demokracije je v državi že zdavni izginila. No, ampak v Franciji, ali pa kar se tiče francoske vloge pri tem, je pa to, da je svetovalec francoskega predsednika Emmanuela Macrona potrdil, da je Francija v nekdani koloniji pomagala pri nadzoru in pa nudenju logistične podpore vojski pri preprečitvi državnega udara. Poleg tega so francoske oblasti v Benin napotile tudi brezpilotno letalo za nadzorovanje situacije in pa svoje posebne enote iz slonokoščene obale za podporo silam tako Nigerije kot ECOWAS-a. No, po izvolitvi leta 2016 se je predsednik Talon zavezal, da bo predvsem okrepil te odnose z Francijo, s katero ima Benin od leta 1977 sklenjen sporazum o vojaškem sodelovanju, ki ga obe državi tudi redno obnavljata. No in predvsem v luči tega lahko razumemo, da je Macron pravzaprav želel pomagati ali pa zatreti poskus državnega udara, da bi na oblasti ohranil sebi in pa Francijo všečnega in prijaznega predsednika.
Kaj pošteno, zdaj so nekako delala cel potek poskusa puča in vse tudi upletene akterje na vladni strani. Kdo pa je ta skupina vojakov, ki je poskušala izvesti udar in se naslikala, kot si omenil, tudi na televiziji oziroma jo vsaj zasedla?
Ja, kot sva omenila na začetku, je to predvsem skupina, ki jo sestavljajo vojaki iz Narodne garde, poveljeval pa je podpolkovnik Pascal Tigri, ki je bil sicer vodja tudi skupine posebnih sil znotraj garde, ki je svojo enoto na sever države se boril tudi proti džihadističnim skupinam. Več o Tigriju pa bo povedal sogovornik.
The coup leader was Lieutenant Colonel Pascal Tigri, who has been part of the MINUSMA, so the UN mission in Mali for some time. He has been formed in the artillery of the Beninese land forces and quite quickly became the leader of the 3rd battalion Interarmes, so an elite force. Until early this year, so the start of this year, when he became the commander of the Special Forces of the National Guard. It's an elite force that works particularly in counterterrorism and that has been quite active in the north. So he has had the experience of those combats, which is also probably the reason of the frustrations that he voiced out during the coup.
Ko so imeli torej ta televizijski nagovor, je skupina navedla več razlogov za sam udar. Kakšni so bili ti razlogi oziroma kateri?
Ja, prvi je bil poslabšanje varnostnih razmer na severu države, kjer se državna vojska bori proti džihadističnim skupinam. Predvsem je to podporna skupina za islam in pa muslimane, ki je povezana z Al-Kaido, in pa druga je skupina, v bistvu skupina Islamska država provinca Sahel. Zdaj, med te druge razloge spadajo tudi gospodarske reforme talona, kot recimo uvedba višjih davkov in pa sočasni rezi v zdravstvo. Je pa ta skupina upornikov navedla kot razlog, oziroma ko je govorila na tem, v tem televizijskem nagovoru, da se morajo ljudje in pa država upreti imperializmu Francije in da se morajo upreti diktatorstvu talona. No, podrobneje pa razlog predstavi Sanaren.
The coup forces and their leader Pascal Tigri mentioned several important reasons for this coup that are well related to the current problems in Benin. So one of the first things that they mentioned was the degrading security in the north and the inadequate responses that the Beninese government has given as of now. They also mentioned the fact that soldiers that have fallen on the front lines in the north were not being honored properly and denounced some kind of omerta on what is happening in the north or some kind of censorship coming from Cotonou with their inability to basically talk about what is happening in the northern parts of the country. They also criticized Talon's policies in terms of economic, like the economic policies. His policies are accused of being very unequal, of allowing him to predate on the resources of the state.
Se pravi, te spopadi z džihadističnimi skupinami in pa poslabšanje varnostne situacije, ki so jih navedli vojaki kot razlog za prevzem, sta prav tako navedli tudi obe hunti, ki sta nedavno izvedli državne udare, se pravi v Maliju pod vodstvom Asimija Gojte in pa v Burkini Faso pod predsednikom oziroma trenutnim predsednikom Ibrahimom Traorejem. No, recimo v Maliju še vedno prihaja do teh spopadov med državno vojsko na eni strani in pa džihadističnimi skupinami na drugi in v tem boju se v Beninu oziroma beninske oblasti zanašajo predvsem na zahodne partnerje, kot je Francija in pa recimo septembra je Benin obiskal tudi poveljnik ameriškega poveljstva za Afriko, general Dagwin Anderson, da bi v bistvu še enkrat poudaril to varnostno sodelovanje med obema državama. Kaj točno pa se dogaja v Beninu, pa predstavi sogovornik.
Benin has been facing jihadi incursions from the central Sahel, so from the Burkina Faso border, as well as from the Niger border over the past years. In the central Sahel, there has been an ongoing jihadi insurgency since 2012 that has led to it becoming the global hotspot for terrorism and jihadism with Al-Qaeda and Islamic State aligned group. In Benin, the Al-Qaeda group called JNIM, so the Jamaat Nusra wal Muslimin, who is Al-Qaeda aligned, has started incursions quite long ago, in 2018 already, with the presence being noted way before also, but commenced some more offensive activity attacks against Beninese authorities in about 2020-2021, as well as kidnappings. So the north of Benin is currently quite an inaccessible zone. This also led to a very militarized response from the Beninese state with the Operation Miado, of which the coup leader was actually part of when he was with the National Guard and one of its elite battalions. And the situation has been degrading over the past years. There have been some very severe attacks, some of which have costed quite a lot of lives, but there is also very little known or reported by the authorities, not known, but reported by the authorities of what is actually happening, with attacks happening almost on a weekly and sometimes on a daily basis over the past months. And it has also given a lot of issues in terms of social divides, with some groups being indirectly singled out as associated with terrorists. The Talon presidency has tried to work on those questions, albeit unsuccessfully, when we're looking at evolutions in some of the regions of the north, with some groups feeling extremely marginalized.
Ko Kot razlog se pa omenja med drugim tudi vse bolj avtokratsko predsedovanje Talona, ki, kot si omenil, je mogoče mal na lepe oči s Francijo. Kdo pravzaprav je Talon in kakšne reforme je sprejel, razen morda te želje po zvišanju davkov in rezov v zdravstvo?
Ja, se pravi, Talon je beninski predsednik od leta 2016, ko je v drugem krogu predsedniških volitev premagal tedanjega predsednika vlade Lionela Zansuja. Sicer je pa bil tudi eden glavnih finančnih podpornikov prejšnjega predsednika države, in sicer Tomaja Bonija Jajija, ki je bil predsednik države med letoma 2006 in pa 2016. No, na to je bil obtožen poskusa umora in pa sodelovanja v državnem udaru in je zbežal v Francijo, ampak ga je Jaja na to oprostil. Preden pa je prešel v politiko, je bil tudi zelo vpliven akter v bombažni industriji in je tako dobil vzdevek, da je kralj bombaža. No, več o Talonu pa sol.
The political climate was also deteriorating because, some people don't like Talon because, you know, he's a wealthy businessman who took power. And as you know, he's called the Cotton King of Cotonou because he had his wealthiness and money from the cotton trade. And he came to power in 2016, and then he was re-elected in 2021, and he will leave the power in April 2026 next year. But he already has a dauphin, somebody who can replace him, called Wagnani, and who is a guy who puts the avant-garde to replace Talon. But also, I think people didn't like the behavior of Talon because he was putting in jail some opposition leaders, and then he exiled some persons, and then, you know, he impeded political activists and leaders to not be part of the next elections. I think this is what was the tension that was prevailing before the coup.
Se pravi, katere ukrepe pa je kralj bombaža kaj sprejel?
Ja, še pred začetkom mandata je najbolj aktivno podpiral ustavne spremembe, s katerimi bi omejil predsedniški mandat na samo enega, torej da ne bi mogli kandidirati še za drugega. No, kar je potem ironično, ker leta 2021 je tudi sam kandidiral za drugi mandat in bil uspešno potrjen za predsednika. No, ta sprememba v parlamentu, kot pač vidno, ni bila sprejeta in ni prejela dovoljšne podpore, je bila zavrnjena, kar je Talon sprejel in to v bistvu pospremil s besedami, da razume to pač zavrnitev, ker je zavezan demokraciji. No, v letih 2017 in 2018 je potem s predsedniškimi imenovanji preoblikoval podobo državnega ustavnega sodišča v svojo korist in leta 2019 uvedel novo volilno zakonodajo, po kateri so morale vse stranke za sodelovanje na volitvah od vlade pridobiti potrdilo oziroma dokazilo. To dovoljenje sta dobili samo dve stranki, in sicer Progresivna unija za obnovo in pa Republikanski blok, ki sta bili potem tudi edini stranki, ki sta lahko nastopili na parlamentarnih volitvah leta 2019. Na teh volitvah je bila volilna udeležba okoli 27%, medtem ko na prejšnjih volitvah mislim, da je ta odstotek dosegel okoli 66%. No, potem te volilna udeležba, se pravi, je močno padla, protesti proti spremenjeni volilni zakonodaji so bili prepovedani, nad demonstranti, ki so se vseeno zbrali, pa je policija uporabila solzivec. No, sedeže v parlamentu sta tako dobili samo dve stranki, kar pomeni, da je imel zdaj Talon tudi polno podporo parlamenta, ker sta bili to ti dve stranki, ki sta bili njemu všečni.
Kar je fino, ker je zavezan demokraciji, ne?
Točno tako, demokraciji, ki podpira njega. No in na naslednjih volitvah, torej predsedniških volitvah leta 2021, je več opozicijskih strank volitve bojkotiralo. Leto predtem, mislim, da v dveh mesecih, in sicer marca in pa aprila, pa je policija aretirala več kot 100 opozicijskih kandidatov in pa aktivistov. No, se pravi, kot rečeno, na volitvah je potem nepresenetljivo slavil Talon, ki je prejel skoraj 86% vseh glasov.
Benin's political scene has undergone quite a lot of changes since the arrival of Patrice Talon. He changed the electoral laws earlier in 2017 2017-2018, which led to the 2019 elections actually being with the representation of the two parties who were both from the presidential majority, from the president's side. So effectively, no opposition party was represented in the government. However, this has given rise to a big crisis in 2020-2021 that led to a change of the electoral code. And in 2021, there was a readjustment where the opposition actually came back in the National Assembly. There was another change in the electoral code. There is less critique of that electoral code than there was of the previous one. However, there is quite strong divides on the political scheme, on the political scene. Some of the changes that Talon has done are seen as unjustified. Benin before had very fragmented democracy. There was over 250 parties that were represented on the national territory. Today, we are at about 7 parties only due to the changes that were done with the electoral laws, which has also led to a lot of the smaller opposition parties being sidelined in the political discussions.
Kaj pa je naš kralj Bombaža, oprosti, ne moram ga več nazivati z drugačnim imenom, storil po dobljenih volitvah leta 2021?
Ja, letošnjega novembra je parlament sprejel spremembe, s katerimi je potem mandat predsednika in pa zakonodajnega organa podaljšal z 5 na 7 let in tudi ustanovil delno imenovani senat. Te spremembe pa podrobneje predstavi sogovornik.
Talon has done several political reforms that were quite important, including of the electoral code. And as of last month, actually, a constitutional reform introduced constitutional amendments that prolongs the presidential mandate to 7 years, and introduced the Senate, which would be appointed by the leader of the assembly and the president, which essentially would, if those things were implemented now, would give Talon quite strong powers politically, knowing that for the elections that are coming next year, the main opposition candidate was unable to run by the decisions of the Electoral Commission, and Talon's successor, the nominated successor, is essentially running against a moderate opposition.
Kot je omenil sogovornik, je torej na naslednjih predsedniških volitvah kandidatura prepovedana tudi glavni opozicijski stranki in to, kaj to je sprožil zaveznik demokracije. Kako je do tega prišlo?
Je glavni podpornik demokracije v bistvu. In oktobra je ustavno sodišče kandidaturo prepovedalo stranki Demokrati, tako da za razliko od slovenske stranke njihovi volilci nimajo izbire. No, to je ustavno sodišče sprejelo, potem ko je volilna komisija stranki kandidaturo že prepovedala, ker naj stranka ne bi plačala registracijske pristojbine in ni pridobila zadostnega sponzorstva. No, Talon je sicer povedal, da se na teh volitvah tudi ne bo potegoval za tretji mandat, ampak je podprl trenutnega finančnega ministra Romualda Vadanija, ki sta ga podprli tudi obe vladajoči stranki. Sanarem pa pojasni, da ta prepoved kandidature demokratom velja samo na naslednjih predsedniških volitvah, ne pa tudi na parlamentarnih.
In the current electoral code there is a system of parrainage of essentially you need to get the support of some authority figures within the Benin, whether it's mayors, whether it's, I believe there's préfet, who have to support your candidacy, and those have to be equally from all territories. The Democrats were not unable to satisfy that, so there were areas where they are less implanted and they did not get the required number of those signatures. This is why they were unable to run for the presidential elections. However, they are running in the legislative elections, and it's quite interesting because they absolutely did not support the coup. So even if there is an unease about the political situation and about they are very discontent about what happened, they are not discontent enough to support an unconstitutional change. They still support the institutions, and quite fast, when the coup was in progress, voiced out their support for the government and for the republican institutions of Benin.
No, potem, ko so vladne sile put zatrle, so v bistvu pristojni organi aretirali več teh upornikov, in sicer mislim, da okoli 12. Glavni voditelj Pascal Tigri pa je zbežal domnevno v Togo. In nekako, če bi sam za konec povzel, se pravi, ta puč je po značaju bi mogoče bolj podoben tistim v Maliju in pa v Burkini Faso, kjer je skupina vojakov z, kot smo slišali in videli, pač nekim antiimperialističnim, v bistvu antiimperialistično željo prišla in poskušala prevzeti oblast, ampak je so beninske oblasti s pomočjo različnih institucij, drugih držav in pa predvsem Nigerije in pa Francije, nekako to, ta poskus zatrli, so zatrli za to, da bi na oblasti ostal Talon, ki še naprej spodkopava demokracijo v državi in se predvsem poskuša obdržati na oblasti vsaj do konca tega mandata.
Hvala ti, kultivirala pa sva Tim in Živa.